Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoilery views of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back in the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
It's a wonderful time to be here, brother.
Not after watching this show. Anyway. Next we've got Pete. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and Kate stole my joke.
No, no. Two great minds think alike.
Yeah.
And the two of you. And we've got Steve. Steve, how's your week going?
It's going.
Yeah, it's February now. In a classroom, so... Yeah. If you think January is long, February is just never ending. So, guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. And I'm just going to put a little plug out there. Guys, we need your suggestions, because after a couple weeks, we need to know what you want us to watch. So send us those suggestions. You can email us plusplatoon@gmail.com or message us somewhere. We need those suggestions because we're tired of picking everything we watch. So we want to know what you want us to watch.
Tell us if we should watch Percy Jackson season 2, because none of us watched it.
Yeah, we haven't seen that yet. So anyway, that being said, this week, Wonder Man came out as the latest Marvel TV series. They released all 8 episodes at once. Kind of tells you something. It... kind of breaks the fourth wall in that it follows an actor who loved the Wonder Man as a kid, and now they're auditioning for it, and he actually has superpowers. And then Ben Kingsley shows up, and he's a spy for the Department of Damage Control. And yeah, so we watched episodes 1 and 2 just to kind of figure out. And our big question is going to be, do we want to watch the rest of it? But let's focus on episodes 1 and 2. I know I watched 1 and 2. Kate, you saw 1 through 3. Is that correct? If she can hear me. Steve, you watched 1 through 3, right?
I did watch 1 and 2.
You watched 1 and 2.
I just watched 1 and 2, yeah.
Right, okay. So
I listened to the assignment.
Yes. So, on this...
It had me hooked. I wanted to keep going.
Okay. What nailed the audition? What worked for episodes 1 and 2? Pete, I'll start with you as the... I got to start with Kate as this one, as the defender, the ultra defender of the Marvel faith. What nailed the audition for this?
Yeah, so, I can understand why 1 and 2 were hard to watch, because I, too, felt at moments where I was like, I don't know where this is going. But I think that's why I liked it. I think I liked it because I was like, okay, I know nothing about Wonder Man. Like a lot of the Marvel superheroes that we've experienced before, I knew about, and I knew their backstory, but I know nothing about Wonder Man.
You know why, Kate?
And so I was just very curious.
Nobody knows anything about Wonder Man.
Oh, perfect. So I was just curious how it was going to go, what his backstory was going to be. I will give you all a little bit of, this was also crazy to watch for me because my husband is an actor.
I wondered.
And my husband is an actor. And so him and I watched it together. We both had visceral reactions to how he spoke to the director and trying to change things and I'm getting fired. And I looked at my husband and I was like, please tell me you never do that. And he was like, no, obviously not. Well, we actually have a friend staying with us right now who is in town filming a movie. And he came in this morning and was like, there was a guy on set who was demanding all this stuff and being really hard to work with. And I was like, is that echoing here? So I saw this from a little bit of a different perspective, being married to an actor. It was a little combobulated. We'll talk about that. But I wanted to see how it was going to how we were going to pull the Marvel into it. I like that there was a Easter egg for Mr. Rogers the Musical, or whatever it was, Steve Rogers the Musical.
Mr. Rogers the Musical. Yeah. It's a wonderful day in that neighborhood.
That would be awesome.
Watch that one.
I would watch that one too.
So I feel for Marvel the way that Pete and Gina feel for Star Wars. That, like, it will take a lot for me to really actively not like something. So I have hope for this. I don't think it's going to do great, but I'm probably going to watch the rest of the series. So, Pete, what do you think?
Okay.
Okay. No.
I'm saying that
the first time Pete has to come up with something positive for a Marvel show and he says okay.
So I'm going to say two positive things about it. I don't have family that are actors, but I've always been fascinated by, like, behind the scenes of how movies and TV are made. So I find, like, anything that has some appeal to me. So I do kind of like that. And of course that this guy is kind of that, like, way self-important actor type that, like, you know, I have to get into my mental state and I have to, you know, that I find that amusing, even though I was confused by this because I thought it was supposed to be funny and I didn't really laugh at all. I mean, a few, like, just kind of like, but other than that, the other thing I liked, see, I actually like that this is, like, lesser, because to me that's what the TV shows should be, is more grounded in reality. Like, I don't need Secret Invasion to be a TV series, because that should be big, and then when they do it on TV and you're watching, it's like, that wasn't big enough and it was boring. And so you know, Secret Invasion should have been a movie. This definitely should not be a movie. So, you know, I think from that perspective, you know, and even like Daredevil is not a movie. He's a guy that punches people and gets punched a lot.
And is very bloody.
Yeah. Right. So it works as a TV show. And this, so I'm okay with it so far. And I'll leave the rest for the next subject. So, Steve, what about you?
I'm not okay with it so far. things I liked, Ben Kingsley. I find his character fascinating. That's why I went up to three episodes. I also liked the actress. I am looking at Shola Adeyemi, who played his the other character's mother. She's from Bob Hart's Abishola, which I found her entertaining.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay.
No. Okay, as in that's where I've seen her before.
Yes, that's where I've seen her. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am not enjoying it. I'm not going to probably be moving on.
Well, save it for the third question. Come on.
Okay.
So. And I will go just a little bit less. Ben Kingsley was a breath of much needed talent in this show. He's as he says, as they said when they were talking in the theater, steals every scene he's in. Right. Reminds me of Mary Wicks. The innkeeper, the housekeeper in White Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Emma, of course. Yes.
How she literally stole every scene she was ever in.
Yeah.
Because if you watch, even on some of her younger stuff, it's just, she always has that little Kleenex, or she has something that draws your eyes to her. Ben Kingsley is the same way without needing the prop.
I guess this is a negative. I'm going to save it for my negative.
Okay. So, but anyway, for me, the only thing that nailed this audition was Ben Kingsley. So, now, that being said, what should have been fired? What went got way too into itself and should have been fired? And Steve, I want you to pick one thing for now.
One thing? The plot is moving way too slow. Like, I feel like every episode, you don't get something until the very end, and it's like just a crumb.
Yeah, and I would back you up. This is more stale than a year-old loaf of Wonder Bread. And should have been cleaned up with a Wonder Mop. I mean, those are the only Wonder things that should have been on this show. I'm with you again. You guys always think I always say the plot moves slow. You guys got to admit this plot is glacial.
No, well, the plot so far is a dude is auditioning for things.
And he actually has powers and the Department of Damage Control is hunting him down.
Right. But let me let Kay go first before I talk about that.
So to me, it's just the plot here is slow and pointless at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Kate?
Mm-hmm. I struggled to understand the subtext because I felt like there was a lot of subtext and like, oh, there was a fire when he was a child.
Is that from the third episode?
Sorry. That might have been from the third episode.
Yeah, whatever.
It is.
Sorry.
It doesn't change anything.
It just like, oh, he has these powers, but like doesn't, but like he's like an actor. I'm an actor. It just didn't entirely make sense to me because I was like, okay, so wait, is he going to be bit by a radioactive spider and that's how he gets like powers? Has he always had the powers? Even through the third episode, as Steve can say, like that just wasn't super clear to me at least. And I kind of had to keep asking Casey like, wait, what? Like, wait. And unfortunately that didn't get better in the third episode, because in the third episode a guy shows up and he's like, oh my god, I'm a film guy. And I literally was like, Casey, who's that? And Casey was like, I don't know. So it just didn't I don't know. I'm gonna keep watching it because I love Marvel, but I found it somewhat disjointed in the storytelling, if that makes sense. Pete?
To me, they made the cardinal mistake of never put a great movie in your bad movie or TV show. In this case,
was that Midnight Rider?
Yeah, they put Midnight. They have Midnight Cowboy in there, and there's so many movies that do that. It's like our characters are watching a great movie, and I'm always like, oh, I could be watching that movie instead.
I did.
I would say the one exception to that I have is Casablanca in When Harry Met Sally, because When Harry Met Sally to me is a great movie. And so it pulled it off.
I will say I did, because I have never seen Midnight Cowboy, so I did go and Google why his friend died. While I was in the movie, I was like, why did this guy die in Midnight
Cowboy? That's Dustin Hoffman, you know, right?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've actually never heard of Midnight Cowboy. So
it won Best Picture.
Yes, it did.
And it was the only X-rated movie to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
It's an X-rated movie?
Yes. Now, you got to remember that was X-rated back when it came out.
Yeah. Right. What made it X-rated? Like language?
Well, it's
before our current rating system came about.
So it was either.
What would it be rated now?
Probably R.
It's been re-rated as R since then.
Yeah.
But at the time, that was before X became synonymous with pornography. So this was like 1968 or something like that. So they could still.
So there's sex in it and
yeah
yeah.
Okay.
So the crazy. The main character there, John Voight, is he's a male prostitute. So, anyways,
all right. So
we should be talking about this great movie in our bad TV show review.
What this is like.
I did have I did have another comment because that was somewhat tongue in cheek, but it's also true. I think I agree with what Derek and Steve are saying, which is like, there's just not much going on here. And it does have me a little bit intrigued by it, but I'm still on the fence. So I'm not quite where Kate is, that definitely going to keep watching. I think I'm going to keep watching, but it could lose me quickly if it keeps going like this. So we'll see.
Okay. And I kind of
bring. Can I add one more?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I don't like the main character. He's not likable.
I would agree.
He is definitely not likable.
He's not likable.
Yeah.
Like, fire him.
Is he a good guy?
Blacklist him.
Well, he seems intentionally unlikable. Right. I mean, yeah. Right? They're writing him as unlikable, but having that first scene where he like goes into a role, which is clearly like a two-line role.
Right.
And he's like making the people all change what they're doing and move the lighting and everything like that. He immediately comes off as a jerk in the first scene.
If they took this as a comedy, because I thought it was going to be a comedy.
Oh, I wish it was a comedy.
Right. And they totally played it up. I think it would have been more like, right. Okay.
Right. But. They could have done that funny, but they didn't.
And yeah, there is no humor in this so far.
Well, I feel like they're trying for humor and failing.
And missing badly.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Josh Gad eventually shows up in the series, so.
Oh, does he? Well, that would keep me going.
Maybe.
I just got tickets for Book of Mormon.
Ooh.
We can talk about that instead of this.
Guys, what does it say about this show that we've had better conversations about Midnight Cowboy and Book of Mormon and Mr. Rogers, the musical? And none of us really want to go into the deep depth of Wonder Man.
So, two episodes, there is no. Like,
there is a deep depth of Wonder Man yet. Okay. Yet.
But by episode two of WandaVision.
I don't think you can compare anything to WandaVision. WandaVision was its own. It was so good.
But even episode two of Loki or episode two of, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Anything.
By
so far,
two, something should happen.
Yeah, that's fair.
Give me a little bit more nugget of something. I feel like there's just not. I thought there was something there, but
right. As I said, I think it's supposed to. I mean, it's supposed to be intriguing that he has superpowers, but he's trying to hide it. But it's not
right.
Or does he even realize he has super? Like I figure he knows something's going on, but...
Okay, I will be perfectly honest. I read all the episode synopses, so I could tell you if what's going to happen if you really want me to, but I won't.
I don't want you to tell me.
Yeah, I won't. So...
I'll report back. I'll watch all of it, and I'll report back.
But...
Listen, I'm gonna keep going, but if 3 and 4 are like 1 and 2, I would probably stop. Yeah.
Apparently, Josh Gad is in episode 4. Okay. So... And like, not for very long, but let's finally get to this, because some of us actually, you know, stick to the script in this, and rather than, you know, jumping ahead and saying what you're going to do anyway. But apparently, I'm the only one who didn't answer this question yet on does it make me want to watch the rest of the series?
I bet I know the answer.
Yeah, no, I'm not watching the rest of this.
That's fine. Pete and I will do it.
If it's trying to be out of... It almost seems like it's trying to break a fourth wall, but failing worse than She-Hulk did. I mean...
I'd rather watch She-Hulk.
Yes. At this...
I didn't like She-Hulk. There were a couple of really good episodes of She-Hulk. Overall, it was not a successful show, but right. there were some. Hey, that gave us Madison, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
who I want to have, I want her to have her own series. Give her a series. I got a cat in the way here. Sorry about this.
Marvel needs to learn its lesson that if you're gonna break the fourth wall, you need Daredevil in it or don't do it.
Deadpool, you mean?
Deadpool, yeah. Deadpool in it or don't do it. Just because so many things try to break the fourth wall. Okay. Now, show we're going to watch next week is known for breaking the fourth wall and I think typically does it successful, but we're jumping ahead a little bit there. So it's just, any other thoughts on this? We're not going to do Pixie Dust ratings this week because after two episodes, it's not fair. But any other thoughts on Wonder Man? Do you wonder why they brought this out?
I wonder what they were thinking.
I think they needed something. I think when was the last thing something Marvel was released?
Last,
I feel like it's been a minute.
Last fall, was it Daredevil?
The last TV series might be Daredevil, yeah.
And the last movie would have been
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four, yeah. And there's no Marvel movies. The only thing Marvel coming out this year, I think, is just the Vision Quest that we're expecting yet.
Daredevil Season 2.
Daredevil Season 2 and Vision Quest.
Vision Quest are the only TV series. And then Spider-Man, which is only half Marvel.
And it's going to be a movie.
And it's a movie. Well, that's what I'm just saying.
I also have a feeling that this was filmed in Georgia. I could be wrong on that, but I feel like this was filmed in Georgia.
I would not doubt that at all.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yes. Percy Jackson and the Olympians Season 3 will come out on Disney Plus in late 2026, earlier than expected. Season 2 is now on the service.
So
did we watch Percy Jackson?
We watched season one.
We watched season one. We haven't watched season two yet, and that's why I said at the beginning.
I'll have to go watch. I have just been in a binging mood, so maybe I'll just go watch it.
Yeah.
And then the first season.
We did like the first season for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then season two, number two, Disney Plus and Hulu merger is taking longer than expected, but it was announced that the single streaming service experience will still happen this year.
I don't get that because as far as I can tell, it already has happened.
Yeah, but apparently.
I thought it had already happened.
Apparently not worldwide, I guess, maybe, or whatever.
I think it's going to completely merge. So we won't have Hulu
on there at all. It'll just be like. Shows. So, okay. It's not in the Disney Plus news, but it was announced that Josh D'Amaro is going to be taking over as CEO of the Walt Disney Company. Any thoughts on this? I know we've liked him so far as theme park head.
I think it's an excellent pick. I think he has the passion for Disney. I think it's probably the smartest move they could have made. So...
Yeah.
Sorry, my internet is glitching a little bit. Were you asking?
What do you think about
how we feel about Josh D'Amaro? Yeah. He gained all of my respect when COVID happened, and he was in the parks talking to cast members and listening to cast members who were being laid off. He did face to face. He let people talk. Chapek hid in his office. And while I'm not now, D'Amaro was still just part of World. So he was just over World. I can't remember his exact position at that. I have a big respect for him. He did a lot of damage control after Chapek crapped the bed. I hope you all can still hear me. Everything is spinning.
Yeah.
I have never heard anything negative about him. A lot of people that I know have met him, have spent time with him. He apparently is a very kind man, loves the parks, loves the cast. He is very pro cast. He is very pro his workers. And I will just never forget. I didn't personally get to meet him, but many people spent time because he just went and he was just there to listen to cast members who were heartbroken and who were sad and who were grieving. And I have not made it a secret that losing Disney and losing my job with Disney, being laid off from Disney because of COVID, was one of the hardest things I've ever walked through ever. So the fact that he was not afraid to go into the parks and be have face-to-face conversations, get yelled at, have tears. He wasn't afraid to face that. He has my unbelievable respect, and I don't think that there's anyone else that I would support being in that position at this point. So
I think it says something that the board, who is known for not being exactly cordial with each other, he was the unanimous choice to be the CEO. So I
agree with what everybody says, and I think he will be good for the parks. If he continues, can he be that person and be good for the corporation? I don't know. I personally think that if you treat your employees well, that is going to lead to success. That is not how corporations think. So, and
oh, and Pete just dropped. So, oh, yeah. So he moved back to Animal Kingdom Lodge. Really? What? Oh. Anyway,
it's wild to me that, listen, I'm not going to lie, us cast members, where I am connected to entertainment, we're dramatic people. We find the drama. We're good at it. I know. Shocker to everyone. I have not heard anyone say something negative about him. And the people that I know can find something negative to say about the Lord himself. Like, they can find the negative anything. And I just have never found anything negative about him. And that says something to me.
And I will say, I have not seen anything negative on most of the message boards I've been at. And like, most, like, anyone who knows Disney doesn't hate this, which again,
correct,
says something. So it looks like we've got Pete back.
I am not sure what happened. It just told me my mic disconnected.
But. And it's still disconnected because that's not the same mic.
Oh. Fix that.
But so anyway, that's the news out of Burbank. So guys, next week. With Kate.
What now?
Would you like me to talk about the Taylor Swift documentary?
Sure.
Well, we have some time. We've got a little bit of time. So everyone, I would love to tell you about The End of an Era, the Taylor Swift documentary.
We lost
y'all.
Kate.
It's so good. It's so good. Even if you're not a Taylor Swift fan, it's so good. It is a 6-episode series, and in it, they basically go through a whole bunch of essentially eras of the Eras Tour. The first episode is all about the creation of the Eras Tour and how she, the ideas that she had and what the vision that she wanted. I took a lot from this documentary, not just as I am not a Swiftie. I am a big Taylor fan. But I took a lot from this as a businesswoman, how she treated everyone from the janitorial staff to her dancers to her backup singers to the people who were running merchandise to the car driver or the bus drivers. She treated everyone with respect. Just wild. Very few people had anything negative to say about her. There's an episode about her and Travis and how her and Travis kind of met and how that all went through. There's episodes about, the very last one is The End of the Era. It's the last tour. There's episodes about her dancers. One thing that I loved is one of her dancers, that his name is escaping me right now. He really, really wanted to dance in the number. Hold on. Ready for It. He really wanted to dance in the number Ready for It. Well, that is traditionally an all-girls number. But he pitched it to Taylor. He had the dance captain pitch it to Taylor, like, hey, I've been practicing this choreography. I fit into this costume. And she was like, absolutely. And it was just such a testament to what happens when, kind of what Pete was saying earlier, when you create an environment where you are welcomed and you are loved, people will do anything for you. There's one part in the documentary where she talks about giving bonuses. She gave bonuses to every person who worked on the tour. There's like thousands of people that work on this tour. And she wrote every one of them a handwritten letter with a wax stamp. And I think she gave, I know she gave, for every leg, she gave her bus drivers $100,000 bonus. Her dancers, I think they got like a $750,000 bonus. I think someone said that she gave away something like $19 million in bonuses or something, that I can't remember the exact number. I could absolutely go watch this documentary again. It's just so good. It's such a masterclass in how to be a good business owner, how to treat the people you work with kindness and inclusivity. If I didn't have already a massive amount of respect for her, there's a whole episode that's about how there was a alleged terrorist attack that was supposed to happen at one of her concerts and they canceled it, and the pain that she felt walking through that, and having to cancel those concerts, and the fear that she had going into her next concert. Just masterclass in being a businesswoman. Brilliant. And that is about the Taylor Swift documentary. Go watch it.
So you're saying that the Taylor Swift documentary made Taylor Swift look really good? I never would have thought that would happen. No, I think she is genuinely a good person, but yeah, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be surprised by a by a documentary that she produced showing that she was a great person. So
no,
I'm not saying she isn't. But
yeah,
and I think you are a Swiftie. You're just a secret Swiftie.
I'm a secret Swiftie.
I'm a minor Swiftie. a sort of Swiftie. So. Okay.
Slightly Swifty. How's that?
Yeah. So,
do I get to talk about Avatar Fire and Ash now?
Oh, if you must. I'd rather talk about what we're going to watch next week.
Let's do that.
Yes.
I vote for that.
So, next week, you guys have seen it all over the internet. You guys have seen it on TV advertisements. The Muppet Show is back. It is being billed as a one-off special event, but it's a 30-minute show. It's got a guest star. It's got acts and skits. It is basically a pilot for reviving the original Muppet Show. And people are basically saying, if enough people watch this, they will bring the Muppet Show back. Because Seth Rogen is the one that executive produced this, and I have heard interviews of him, how much he loved the Muppets growing up, and he has a ton of money to dump into this. So if this people watch this, it's the old, if you build it, he will come. If you watch it, they will keep shooting more of these. At the time that we are recording, it has a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes from everyone who's been able to authorize preview of it. So I will be watching this tomorrow.
Me too.
I don't know what time it's on ABC. I don't know if it's going to be on Disney Plus first or if it's just going to be on Disney Plus at the same time. Has anyone heard that? A time frame? Or can someone look it up as
it's
where?
It's on. I don't know when it's opening on Disney Plus. It's definitely on tomorrow night on ABC. I assume at 8, but I don't know.
Or either 8 or 9 Eastern, probably. I don't know. Yeah, I said, guys, look it up. This is one thing I did not do. So I will try and vamp a little bit. I have Sabrina Carpenter.
Carpenter? Sabrina.
Yeah. And the sketch videos from it have reminded me very much of the original Muppet Show. And everything I've seen says that essentially if you like the original Muppet Show, this feels like that has finally come back because Disney has tried. Okay, Pete.
So it's at 9 p.m. On Eastern time or Eastern Pacific. And then it's going to be on Disney Plus starting at 12 a.m. Pacific time, which is what, 3 a.m. here?
Yeah, so that sounds like they're going to do it on Disney Plus before it's on ABC.
Yeah, oh, so
it says available February 4th. Yeah. So
it'll be available starting tomorrow morning, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So I know what I'm doing. I hope my first hour has something to do tomorrow because I know what I'm doing in my first hour class is probably watching this.
I'll watch it when I get home. But
I'm definitely watching it tomorrow. Hope I want to watch it more than once.
And I even discovered tonight I know one Sabrina Carpenter song.
What? Which one?
Espresso.
It's a good one. I play that one a lot when I DJ.
Anyway. So
no, I actually said to my daughter, I said, I know it's like it's espresso or macchiato or cappuccino. And she was like, it's espresso. And I was like, see, I knew it.
Yeah. I don't know that song. So anyway.
You probably have heard it. It was pretty everywhere.
Okay. Sure. Well, we shall see. I wonder what she'll sing at, on the show, because I'm guessing it's not. What was great is when the artists would sing stuff that was not theirs.
I would think that's what they'll do.
Although Blondie did Call Me, but on the original.
Yeah, some of them, like Elton John did
his stuff,
Crocodile Rock. Yeah.
So anyway, we shall see. As we said at the beginning, though, if you have suggestions on what you want us to watch, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We answer everything. We have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Steve, Pete, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.